Guys, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Cloud Networking Unscripted with myself, Noman Mustafa, and John Gonzalez. This one actually is going to be a very fun one, something that we talked a lot internally. And being cloud architect, this is something that I want to stay very close to. And John is obviously coming from that mindset as well. And the focus of this is, How do you basically connect the dots between a CEO, CIO, CFO to a cloud architect and a technical community within an enterprise? And I think if we look back a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when we were in the on-prem world, where the data center market is all matured, well understood, you know, vendors are selling the products in the market as well understood, it's less of a problem or a need for cloud architects to really understand what the CEOs and CIOs are thinking and what CFOs are signing up on. Because, you know, let's say if you buy a VMware or a Cisco data center, right, you know, you basically decisions happens up top and you are just asked to go and design it based on the best possible resiliency and availability and secure manner. But for most part, you know, the architects and technology people do not really understand what CEOs and CIOs ever thought about, right? Because it's a well-matured market, everybody knew why they're getting the data center. Now, in the cloud market, right, in the cloud world, things have changed drastically, right? And it's very, very important for cloud architects to understand why CEOs and CIOs are making the decisions, right? Because this is the time where they are thinking, how to capture the market, how to be competitive in the marketplace. There are new competitors and vendors and new banks. They're opening up more in the cloud. They're leveraging services of the cloud. And they are taking the market share away from big giants, well-established vendors in the matter of days, right? Not even in the matter of months. And then obviously the new clientele, right, are more millennials and Gen Zs who are more digital capable. They like to work with new technologies. They like to do business on mobile phones. And these small vendors are able to capture these type of markets. And then this is what CEOs and CIOs are thinking, that how do I grow my market? How do I be more agile? And this is why I think it's very, very important for cloud architects to understand what their CEOs and CIOs are thinking, because then they can architect and build their networks the right way. And the same thing happens on the other side, where CEOs and CIOs, right, they have a trust level. They want to have a trust level with the architects that they will do the right things for the company. So in today's podcast, we're very happy to welcome Prateek Goyal, who heads our business value office at Aviatrix, and he speaks to CEOs and CIOs and CFOs on a daily basis in terms of educating them, in terms of learning from them on what's driving them. So Prateek, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ramon.
And then we also have Faizan Mustafa, who is ex-CIO of Toyota Indus and was nominated as a top 100 CIOs in the CIO Global Forum a couple of years ago. Have done a lot of innovative projects and earned a lot of awards, from especially from SAP as well. So Faizan, welcome to the show. And we also wanted to learn from you on what is the boardroom view of things, on how they look at the technology and the new innovation that they want to invest in. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Prateek. Welcome, Faizan. Great to have you here.
Yeah, and this is going to be a good one. And I hope that, you know, most of the CEOs and CIOs and CFOs, as well as cloud architects, would listen to this, because I think there will be some very, very good nuggets in this episode. So I would start, John, maybe I will start and say that, Prateek, maybe your first question to you, right, is with all of this cloud digital transformation that is happening and applications are migrated over from data centers to different clouds, or you start with one cloud, what's in the mind of CEOs and CIOs? What are they thinking? What are the business value or outcomes that they're looking to drive? And so what do you see? I'm pretty sure that there's a common trend. There might be a little bit differences in terms of what market they play in. But what do you see?
Thanks, Noman. I think based on what I've seen in many, many conversations that I've had, the C-level folks and the board, they are mainly interested in how can they propel their business forward. How can they accelerate their business, grow their revenue, reach new markets? and do this in an agile way. Therefore, they get the competitive advantage that they need in the marketplace. Because as you mentioned, there are many, many enterprises out there that are facing unprecedented pressures from new entrants. And there is so much disruption going on because of technological progress that has been made. So enterprises, businesses, C-levels, boards, they are very focused on how to respond to this challenge and how to make sure that they adapt very quickly and can successfully continue to be in a growth trajectory versus flattening out and maybe even dying out as a company. And that is one top concern. The second concern, I think that goes hand in hand, is the security aspect of this. As they move into unknown areas, which they are dipping their toes into, security is a paramount concern, because if they don't get that right, they will basically be destroyed. So those two things go hand in hand. And that is the top concern, I think, in every C-level person right now.
Yeah. So I think the key thing that you mentioned, right? And I think there's a common perception, right, that you're only moving to the cloud because you just want to have on-demand, always available infrastructure service, right? Which is one part of it. Yeah, you can save CapEx and OpEx, not to have invest in buying the hardware. You can have someone who will manage it for you, but that's only a small portion. In my opinion, that's only a small portion of it. What you said is something very important, which is people are going into the cloud to get the business agility and get that competitive advantage by tapping into the services, by tapping into the marketplace, by tapping into the new way of doing business, right? It could be in one cloud, it could be in multiple clouds, but that's what CEOs and in many cases, it's existential threat, as you said, right? Where it's not about, you know, I'm going to grow my business 20%. It's about, you know, how do I actually not lose business to these newer born in the cloud entrants, right? Who is starting to take the market away. So it's very, very important to have an infrastructure that allows you to tap into those things. And that's the business value that a lot of CEOs and CIOs are driving or look striving for.
Agreed. It's true as well. Faizan, you coming from, you know, huge global manufacturing, car manufacturing industry, you know, at the board level, do you find this all about as well, you know, increasing their shareholder value, as Pratik said, propelling their business forward, you know, getting to that competitive edge? But in getting to that competitive edge, you know, and in their cloud journey, do you also find that they tend to want to stick to the big players and, you know, innovators like Aviatrix and other startups that are bringing a lot of different types of value in the cloud on top of what the cloud CSPs are providing natively? Do you find that they're being embraced, or are they sort of kept at arm's length because they're an unknown quantity and perhaps adding more risk than's needed, you know, over and above then moving from on-prem into the cloud?
That's a very good question, John. So based on my experience, since there is a lot of innovation out there, and sometimes, you know, CIOs and CTOs, they find themselves in a state of excited confusion with so much innovation around. Sometimes it's very difficult to pick and choose. It's reminiscent of a child in a toy store. You're trying to pick and choose which toy is best for you. But in here, it seems to me that the best possible strategy for a champion or somebody in the position of a CIO or a CTO is to look at it from the business value perspective. Not look at it from the technology perspective, but from the value perspective as to what value this innovation or this new vendor is going to provide to my business. And as long as you're a good storyteller, you are able to tell a compelling story about the value of that product, regardless of that is coming from a giant incumbent or a new player in the market. I think now market is much more acceptable to new players coming in because the way we are seeing the market is disrupted. So the acceptability of new players is much more. It depends on the champion, how they put up a convincing value proposition in front of the board, in front of the sponsors, to actually drive the value, to convince the value that is going to be the business. But the end of the day, it depends on how you are able to align your value to the business goals and objectives of your organization.
Right. And it's given that compelling business case over and convincing people that this is the right decision. I completely get it. Yeah.
And I think talking about champion, right? I think we had Jeff Dukes a while back, John, if you remember. From
Yeah, I do.
And I asked him, you know, what's in it for you? What I mean, when you say champion, right? And as Suzanne mentioned, that it's a champion's job, right? To be able to see the new trends in the market, challenge the status quo, right? And figure out what is the next best technology for their business to compete, right? And to grow. And I think he said it right that, you know, when my CEO and CIO, CTO looks at me as a champion, there's this level of trust where they are banking on me in terms of me to do the right things, challenge the status quo, challenge the traditional way of doing things. And it's also about leaving the legacy behind. Let's say, you know, when I am in a different company or I'm doing something else, or if I get retired, people will not say, hey, he made the wrong decision. And because of that person or that strategy or that architecture, you know, I'm not able to grow or expand the way, you know, it should be, right? And obviously, there's a saying that nobody gets fired by buying Cisco and VMware and all of these old incumbents. But now I think it's the responsibility of true champions and cloud architects to look at the new way, because cloud is very new, right? All of these incumbents, right, they don't have solutions that works well in the cloud. And this is the job of a champion to be able to identify that and be able to guide the CIOs and CTOs, because that's the level of trust that the new market is demanding, right? From these leaders in the company. So coming back to Prateek, right? So in your discussion, right? You know, when CIOs and C-level execs, they ask for business value. Let's take an example of Evatrix, right? It's a cloud networking platform. It's an infrastructure play. It's very, very, instrumental for any cloud network. And one of the GSI MDs actually told me that, you know, it's a bloodline for any cloud deployment, right? It's something that cannot be ignored, because if you get that wrong, all of your applications, all of your digital transformational architecture and projects will go down the vein. So, In your experience, right, how do you explain the business value in something that CIOs can understand? Because obviously they don't know, you know, what is this TGW and VWAN and Evatrix and encapsulation and encryption and egress FQDN and all of the beautiful things that we do. How do you explain what resonates well with CIOs and C-level people?
Yeah, so the way I think about this, Noman, and I think what Faizan just mentioned resonates with me, and also your story about Jeff Duke, our champion at Republic Airways, right? Firstly, the C-level people, like you said earlier on this call, they rely on their resources internally to make sound engineering decisions for the business, right? Because the C-level, they cannot get into the weeds of the technical matters. They have hired who they think are the best people for their company to go and drive those decisions. So any technology like Evatrix also, we have to convince the technical person that we are solving hard problems for them that cannot be solved with cloud native constructs in this example. And the technical person has to be convinced that Evatrix is a great solution. So essentially we are creating a champion. And then the question becomes, how does this champion take the message to the C-level person and help them understand that this is the right investment for the company to make? To do that effectively, in my experience, Noman, what really works well is for champions to link this as a project to the C-level initiatives that they are driving. And that comes back to the two things we discussed earlier in the call, which is always about propelling the business forward and about securing the company as they go on in this journey, right? So ideally, our champion needs to be able to link a deployment of Evatrix and explain to the C-level persona how deploying Aviatrix will propel the business forward as well, and how it improves the security posture of the company. If you do that effectively, you are basically helping the C-level person understand that this project is critical to their goals, to the board's goals. And it's not just about some very technical engineering aspect. This actually matters to the business. So when we do that well, that is very effective. And that is how this resonates with the C-level.
And I think that's key, what you just said, Prateek. You know, if you do it. So I've seen a lot of the articulation of, you know, from champions, et cetera, dive too much into the weeds, start confusing those C-level, the CFOs, CIOs, et cetera. And not sometimes it's not always a concise message that gets across. And the approval is not given sort of immediately, and more time is taken, and things have to go back and forth, clarification, et cetera. So how do we enable our champion? How do we enable that person who's going to represent, you know, not only his company, but represent our proposition upwards in that management chain? How do we enable him with the right messaging so that his boss and his boss's boss and his boss's boss's boss understand in the language that they want to hear, you know?
Yeah. Please chime in, Faizan, as well, because you've certainly experienced this from the other side. But in my opinion, if I were to think about a director, a cloud director, a cloud architect kind of person, if you think about your own journey, right? If you have the ambition to get to the CIO level, perhaps one day, you have to start thinking about what they care about, right? And you have to then link this with what they care about. There is a reason why you exist in the organization, which is to drive the C-level initiatives forward. And initiatives, they roll down. So you have board initiatives, and then those board initiatives get converted into C-level initiatives that the CEO wants to drive, the CIO has to drive. Those get converted into VP level initiatives that then get converted into director level initiatives. A successful director, cloud architect kind of person will be making this mental map and will start thinking about how to make their jobs, their projects, get to the links above and above and above them. So they can be very, very articulate about how their projects are impacting not just at their level, but the two levels above them.
Yeah.
So that is key. It doesn't matter whether it's Aviatrix. It doesn't matter whether it's whatever they're doing, right? Mm. And that's how they know that they're working on the important things. Otherwise, they're maybe not being super impactful. So right. if Aviatrix can also arm our champions with that story, then it is a very effective way to be in a win-win situation. Because your director level person is now succeeding. They are getting the technology they need to be deployed because they believe it's for their best good. And the C-level person is also getting what they need because their initiatives are being made progress on. So it becomes the right approach for advancing any solution.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Yeah, so just to add to what Prateek said, and looking at it from the CIO's perspective, because I've been on the other side of the fence. Think from the mindset. So what usually happens in a big corporate or even a small or medium-sized company as well. So at the start of the year, you have these, you know, strategy meetings, and you are given a certain business objective for the year. And based on that business objective, whether it is documented or not documented, but there is always a business objective that a business has, then you have this technology strategy which basically aligns with this business objective. And when you have different initiatives that are competing for same resources, same funding, then the method that usually CIOs use, or I hope that they use, is basically to align all of these projects with their topmost priorities. What are the projects that gives me better alignment to what my business is wanting to achieve? And that's how you select different projects. Right now, if you look at it from the cloud architecture perspective or from the technology perspective, and you are, let's say, a solution architect or a director of IT, and he wants to get your projects approved. So if you look at it, everybody is tuned to your radio station called WIFM, which is what's in it for me. So you have to align yourself, your projects. So instead of saying, let's say I want to modernize my financial application, or I want to modernize my CRM application because it's going to get out of support and I don't have anybody to support this application. If you align it so that you say, since my business objective is to improve the working capital by, let's say, $500,000, by implementing this project, I would be able to support the business in terms of what they want to achieve in terms of better working capital. Or let's say if your target is to improve your top line to, you know, $2 million, let's say, and then you're proposing a CRM application, which will give you a better visibility of your prospects, better lead tracking capabilities, better monitoring of your sales force. So essentially what you're saying is that I'm giving you an application or a tool which is taking you one step closer to meeting that target of $2 million. So as soon as you start talking in the lingo of sponsors and board members, then obviously you start getting the traction and start getting the success rate that you want in terms of your value proposition. Otherwise, you know, you would be circling around the sponsors and board rooms and trying to get your projects approved.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. And like the way Pratik, you also put it, that, you know, you as architect needs to think by being in their shoes on what are they trying to drive, right? And to a point where you think that, okay, if tomorrow you take that role, or at some point you take that role, if you have that aspiration to be that lead, you will be in the same spot and what you would have expected from your architect, right? I think a good example would be a customer that, you know, we know about, right? Example where, you know, the CEO level objective, or as Faizan mentioned, right? What is the top level objective? Is to accelerate the movement to the cloud and be able to offer, let's say, new B2C services and attain that $400 million revenue from that B2C services. And maybe another objective is to leverage the power of GCP, BigQuery analytics services to provide a new revenue stream of financial, based on the financial services that you offer, right? So for all of those things, this is a big objective, right? Which will drive things at the bottom level. But the idea is to accelerate the movement of applications from the on-prem. You save money in the CapEx, obviously, but the key part is to drive that B2C $400 million investment and make sure that you have a GCP analytics to drive this new revenue services. Now, how it boils down to the cloud architect, right? And I can play a role of a cloud architect. I may not know everything, all the details of, but I know these high level objectives of the business. Now, how it translates into, right, is when I'm putting together an architecture, I need to make sure that, you know, it's something that now I already know that I'm in AWS, right? My primary cloud, let's say AWS or Azure, but now I know my objective is also to leverage GCP. So I need to have an architecture that's has multi-cloud optionality from day one. Whether I am in the more than one cloud or not, it has a multi-cloud optionality because the business will come to me and ask that, hey, I want to go and leverage this Oracle cloud or GCP cloud. Yes. Have you built the architecture the right way? Security needs to be a first-class citizen, right? I don't want to get bogged down, or I don't want my leaders to get bogged down into an audit or a compliance issue where things are not encrypted or things are not properly secured. Right, the postures in the cloud are very different. You have internet sitting next to your application in the cloud, right? So how do you protect that? How do you have a security posture? None of these incumbent security vendors understand the security posture. They are lifting and shifting their on-prem firewalls, for example, into the cloud. That does not work, right? It's your job. It's not a shared responsibility. It's your responsibility as a cloud architect to figure out the right posture. And then making sure that day-to operations, the visibility, the operations, the troubleshooting are part, embedded part of your design and architecture, right? It's not an afterthought. At the end of the day, lowest common denominator in any successful cloud deployment is your operations team. If your operations team is able to manage this and they have a simple way to troubleshoot things quickly, right? Failure happens, you know, the outages that are happening in CSPs, it will continue to happen. It will get more and more evident because now mission critical is moving to the cloud. But have you enabled your operations team? Have you implemented architecture the right way where the operations team are comfortable managing this? Because their comfort level is directly proportional to how fast you can grow in the cloud and how fast you can roll out services, how fast you can tap into the new business models. And so if you think that way, right, then you will pick up the right technology, you will pick up the right platform, right? And then, you know, you can translate to CEO and CIO at particular site saying in terms of business value that, hey, it's faster acceleration or acceleration to the cloud, right? You move to the cloud quickly. It's built-in secure, not a bolted-in security, so you can avoid heavy fines. You don't have to worry about auditing of compliance. Your patient data, your customer data is secure from day one. It's not an afterthought, right? And then your operations team are skilled, right? You have the tools that you used to have in on-prem. Now you have that availability, your proper training available. And then all of this is built into a cloud native, which means that you are future-proof. And that's how I think you connect the dots. And there's a trust from C-level to cloud architects and cloud architects to C-level, which I think, Pratik, we saw recently with this cloud, with the customer that we worked on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, Noman. Basically, this is a decision that is about future-proofing, because you don't know what the business is trying to do next as a cloud architect. Your job is to make sure that you are not saying no to the business. Your job is to make sure that you are actually setting up the business for success, and which means you want to be firstly cloud agnostic. There's already great studies out there by companies like Gartner who are saying that, hey, look, already by 2021, 2022, over 75% of mid-size and large organizations have adopted multi-cloud or hybrid cloud. And it's only going to increase. So if you are not getting ready for a multi-cloud future, then you are setting yourself up for failure down the road, because the business will come to you and say, we cannot be in just one cloud. For whatever business reason, that's not a technology reason. There's a business reason that's driving that. So you have to set up for success the company, and that requires both operational aspects as well as security aspects. So the way to justify this investment, because it is an investment, the way to justify this investment is to go to your VPs and C-level personas and link it to the business objectives that those guys are pursuing. And then it becomes a story that will resonate with your leadership chain. And it's not about being in the weeds and talking about a technical solution. It's about a business solution that your C-level cares for.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's
great. I think a lot of the, sometimes cloud architects, cloud engineers, SREs, et cetera, they tend to get lost in the weeds sometimes and forget that the technology is just the enabler. You know, it's the business goal, the business value that always has to be front and center of mind all of the time, every time. And you just provide using technology to enable that goal, to provide that end state goal. And I think the message can be put across in that case a lot more simpler for a champions, you know, who's describing, whether it's described, you say, pretty describing Aviatrix or describing some other technology. If they always just think of, you know, what I'm doing is just an enabler. It's a critical enabler. It's a major cog in that big wheel, you know, just a one, maybe one cog, but, you know, it's still the enabler that we're providing. And maybe that message then gets start to get across to that higher level management in a more understandable way, you know? So
yeah, I think we are, that's great advice. I think we're coming close to the time, but one of the things before we go to key takeaways, right? One of the things I wanted to ask Faizan, right? In terms of, in many times when new vendors, we're working with new vendors, right? New technology players, and you know that this is something that you need to invest in. And obviously now then you have to go and work with CFOs also. And CFOs are also not very technical for the most part. So what has worked for you, and how do you basically convince them, right? In terms of, because they are the ones who are signing the checks, and what has been your experience in terms of new technology? What would be your advice to them?
Yeah, so CFOs, you know, they're mainly, concerned with the top and bottom line. Obviously, they have their own priorities, which was given to them by the board. So as I said earlier, you know, as a CIO or as a technology leader, you have to be a good storyteller as well. You have to be able to dissect your project into what value the business is going to get in terms of your contribution to the business. And look, I have found that CFOs are pretty reasonable to work with, because as long as you're able to quantify your value of the project, they are very number-driven people. They have their own criteria for net present value or whatever you want, whatever ratios do you want to calculate. So it's something which I feel that CIOs and the technical leaders need to work together based as a team and put together a convincing value proposition. This is exactly what we used to do in Toyota as well. They have a very standard business proposal format which we used to call the A3 format. So it has the quantifiable benefits of a particular project. It has how this project is aligning to the overall business value or goal. So for all technical architects or cloud solution architects or CIOs, my advice would be to understand the value that business is trying to achieve for the fiscal year and try to propose your proposal in a way that it's easier to understand in terms of numbers and what quantifiable benefits it is going to give. We know that disruption is going to happen. If you're not going to disrupt the market, somebody is going to come in and disrupt you. So that part everybody understands. And there's a increased knowledge of these kind of trends at the board level, at the CFO level. So they do understand the need for investing in technology. But we have to look at it from their perspective as well, that they have so many different projects and tasks that are competing for the same limited level of resources. So the person who is able to justify and present their value of their project in a much more convincing way usually gets the dollar that is available for spending for that particular year. So I think CIOs and technology leaders need to work together as a team and come up with a good, compelling story to the CFO so that they can make a good, wise decision for the future of the company.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Hey, John, thanks, Faizan, for that advice. John, we did not ask Prateek and Faizan about what they like, tea or coffee.
Yeah.
I can guess that, you know, Prateek at least like the masala chai or spicy chai.
I drink both. I like tea and coffee. I don't discriminate. A good cup of chai is a great way to start the day.
All right.
Same here, you know, tea, coffee, or you can mix them both as well. No issues.
No, didn't someone say that?
Somebody got offended in our podcast. He said that you can mix tea and coffee, and he really got offended. No, that's not good.
I don't see how you can mix it. No.
That doesn't sound right.
So anyways, we can maybe leave our audience with one key takeaway from Prateek and then one from Faizan, something that they can walk away with. Prateek.
Yeah, my key takeaway and just one piece of advice to cloud architects as they think about their work is to have strategic thinking behind their projects and take it upon themselves to understand what their leadership and the business is really driving for and how their project is tied to those high-level goals. If you don't have that clarity, then your project is missing something and you should go out of your way maybe and get that clarity from your leadership chain. Without that, you will have lower chances of success. But as soon as you get that and you are able to show and articulate how your project is supporting the higher level goals, you are on your path to success. And that's not just the success of the project, that's success of you as an individual within that company.
Yeah. And then there could be, but this is a great advice, and there could be ambiguity in that clarity that you're looking for. Because I think the CEOs and CIOs, they're under pressure. They don't have all the answers, right? They're trying to innovate themselves. They're trying to rediscover themselves. At the end of the day, they have this high-level objective, right? Which is a very clear objective that, yes, I want to move to the cloud. I want to innovate. I want to basically compete against those new incumbents. That clarity you need to have. I mean, so we invited this really good architect, Steve Wagner from Lufthansa, right? And he said something really nice that CEOs and CIOs are looking at you to build a perfect future-proof architecture where the requirements are all not known. Right? So you don't know all the requirements. but they expect you to build a perfect future-proof architecture. And then the way you do this is to rely on something like MCNA, right? Multi-cloud network architecture or AVTX platform. This allows you to extend and embrace things as they come along, because businesses are there moving very fast. Things are happening and changing. But as long as you have that clarity, and then it's okay to be a little bit, things are not clear and vague within those details. But then if you pick the right architecture, you will be in good shape for long term.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
Zandi, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, so my takeaway is you know, there are two types of innovation. One is technology innovation, the other one is the value innovation. So technology innovation is just picking up technologies right, left, and center, which may be futuristic, but add little value to your business. Whereas value innovation is where you select technologies which are aligned to your business objectives. So my takeaway is, or advice is, to look at your business as a whole and see what are the weak areas where you can improve on, how you can add value to your business using the technology that you are proposing. And if there is direct alignment, then obviously, you know, create a compelling business case for your proposal and then move on. Your job is to make sure your business is strong and you're aligned with the business objective for the fiscal year.
That's great.
That's right. Great.
Thank you so much, Prateek and Faizan. Really good discussion, something different, something that we really wanted to do. And we wanted, you know, cloud architects and C-levels to come together, because this is a new market, right? A lot of unknowns. We all are learning together. But I think the more we communicate, the more we are aligned to each other, the better it will be for the business in general. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. No, it's great advice, guys. Great insight. Thanks for sharing. Our listeners are going to be really interested, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Noman and John.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Fantastic. Thank you.